This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan Vermeulen, always a pleasure chatting to you. Welcome to 2021. Welcome back to Chai FM. Happy New Year. Tell us what lies ahead this year in the world of tech.
Good morning. Well, good morning. Woof, it's been that kind of day already. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year to you as well and everyone listening. Let's hope 2021 is much better than 2020. So there's already been a couple of things happening in the start of the year that bode for at least an interesting year ahead. Let's start with some good news. Qualcomm's announced that they are working on a budget chipset for 5G phones. And so already we are looking at, even before 5G has rolled out in any kind of mass availability in South Africa, we're looking at the technology already becoming more affordable. That's going to be the key thing, right? And for 4G, I remember, you know, basically the availability of it was limited to the top end handsets, you know, the Galaxy S's, the Notes, the iPhones, that sort of thing. And already we're looking at chipset manufacturers making the technology are more affordable. And so hopefully we'll start seeing 5G become available on sort of lower end devices, then mid-range. By lower end, I mean below the top tier S Note iPhone, the, you know, 20,000-30,000 rand phones. It's actually absurd, how expensive the top end of the smartphone market has become, and to sort of, you know, become available on the price point that used to be the top end, you know, 7,000-8,000 rand, maybe 10,000 rand. And from there, you know, 5G will become available through the mid range and eventually through the low end. And, but yeah, I mean, we're looking at a situation where 5G hasn't really had a chance to get properly rolled out yet, partly, because of the pandemic, partly because the standards were only really ratified in 2019. And so, yeah, that's a pretty exciting stuff, is seeing the technology already, the manufacturers already pushing to make the technology cheaper and more cheaply available. So that's a start.
Yeah. And last time we chatted about Mirror Trading International. In fact, we spent most of the show chatting about that. Any updates on mybroadband.co.za regarding MTI?
Yeah, there's been a couple of updates, and not just from us, but it's been interesting to see, the thing that I worked on, the most over the holiday, was, I had a conversation with the lead advocate, who basically filed the successful application to have MTI provisionally liquidated. His name is Vaughan Victor, and he issued a warning basically to MTI members, though he wouldn't phrase it that way. It certainly sounded like a warning to me, is that if the MTI members don't pick the right liquidator for this, now the final liquidators will only be assigned in March, but if members throw their weight behind the wrong person here, they can end up in a situation like we saw with Creon. I don't know how many people remember the Creon saga.
I do.
This was before my time as a journalist, but perhaps folks listening remember it. For those who don't, quick refresher: Creon ran from 1998 to 2002. The mastermind and her co-conspirators were arrested in July 2002. Around 14,000 investors and 1.5 billion rand were involved. Now, for contrast, at least 60,000 people are involved with MTI, depending on which numbers you believe, and well over 6 billion rand, depending on which Bitcoin price you use. If you use the current crazy Bitcoin price, it's 9 billion rand. And anyway, the Creon thing, the bottom line is that the liquidators ended up paying over 80 million rand to lawyers' fees, for their own fee of like 10 million rand to SARS, but they only recovered around 100 million rand of that 1.5 billion. And so less than 10 million was available to actually repay investors at the end of the day. And it took them 11 years to get to that point.
Yeah, and what was disgusting about that is the liquidator in the Creon Metals, a chap by the name of Motala. His real name was Edward Dalwood. He'd been convicted of fraud in the 80s, reinvented himself, changed his name, became this famous liquidator. And he wasn't just involved in the suspect liquidation of Creon, but more recently of Aurora. So people, like you said, have to be very wary, and they need to throw their weight behind the right people. And you've mentioned the crazy prices of Bitcoin, and that's how MTI was able to catch people out. Going on to something a little bit more relaxed, tell us about the most pirated TV shows of 2020.
This is always fun. I look forward to this article from Torrent Freak every year. And it should be no surprise to anybody that's been following the TV space. The Mandalorian, it was the most pirated TV show of 2020, after Game of Thrones ended. Game of Thrones was always going to be the top spot until it stopped. It's the end of it. It lost, 2019 was the end of Game of Thrones. So there was a battle for the top spot, but The Mandalorian, I think, easily took it. In second place was a show called The Boys, which is an Amazon Prime original, if memory serves. In third place is Westworld, which curiously was not on the list last year. It wasn't on the 2019 list. And the Westworld's an HBO show. It's had at least three seasons, if memory serves. It entered the Torrent Freak 2020 list at position three. Then in number four, Vikings, followed by Star Trek Picard, also on Amazon, Rick and Morty, Walking Dead, The Outsider, Arrow, and The Flash. Now, I want to point something out to people. Not a single Netflix original is on this list. Now, you can argue that that's because Netflix has not been producing top-notch shows, but I would like to remind people that 2020 was the year of the Tiger King, which was just a cultural phenomenon. And so if anything was going to enter the top 10 most pirated list, it was definitely going to be Tiger King. But there were other top-notch Netflix shows as well, including Queen's Gambit, The Crown, and Netflix distributes Star Trek Discovery outside the US and Canada. And if Star Trek Picard is on the top 10, I would certainly imagine that Discovery would break into the top 10 as well. Though there is a lot of nostalgia factor behind Picard, but two Star Trek shows, I think, would easily have made the top 10 most pirated list. My guess, if you will allow me to speculate a little bit, is that everybody has Netflix. Everybody who pirates also has Netflix, and so they have no need to pirate the stuff being released on Netflix originals being released, because the Netflix makes it so convenient to watch it. Whereas Disney Plus, on the other hand, is only available in a handful of countries around the world. I think they're up to a good number now, at least like around 50, but South Africa is not one of them. What is interesting though is Amazon Prime originals like The Boys and Picard are on the list, and Amazon Prime is available basically everywhere else. So it's not just about availability. It's about the fact that, people are going, I'll have a Netflix subscription, but I'm not going to subscribe to a whole bunch of other stuff. And so they go through the effort of pirating Amazon stuff rather than paying the few dollars for the Amazon Prime video subscription, which is interesting.
I remember Tiger King as if it was so long ago, because there's been, I don't know, 2020 wasn't a year. It felt more like a decade. And of course, Queen's Gambit, what an absolutely incredible, incredible movie. All of our listeners, mybroadband.co.za is the place to go for all your tech news. Jan Vermeulen, the editor at large for My Broadband, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great, incredible 2021. And next week, you're going to be chatting to Simon Anstey, because I've kept the seat warm long enough. My last show is on Thursday. And I want to thank you for your insight and your unique reviews these last couple of weeks. Jan Vermeulen.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. I'm sure we'll keep talking about the MTI situation and other similar scams as they unfold.
Most definitely. Thank you so much. That was Jan Vermeulen. He is the editor at large for mybroadband.co.za.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.